Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, last week was our fall missions emphasis, and I think we heard a little bit about missions, but Stephen just really helped us in far as just being missional, right? And he talked about us abiding in Christ, abiding with the Lord, and then that in turn then leads to us doing something for God, right? Being missional. And that's been a topic of discussion in leadership and churches quite a bit within the last several years. That the church in America exists, that isn't a question. The question is whether the church is missional, if it's being effective, right? And doing what God has called us to do. And we can give towards missions, and that's awesome. That's part of us being fulfilling the Great Commission. But we also need to be effective in reaching our world at home and abroad, okay? And so I want to build on a little bit what maybe in the next couple weeks here on the services with Stephen and Bailey. And yes. How many have found the messages online on our website? Maybe listen to it. If you haven't, we encourage you to do that. If you miss a Sunday, you just go to our website, click on messages, and boom, they're all there. Just like you listen to music online, you can listen. You can download them if you want to. Put them on your iPod, your iPad, your computer, and listen to them. Go jogging with them, walking with them. So you can. I can be with you on your walks. Isn't that cool? All right. Just think of that. All right. All right, yes. With a whirlpool, right? All right. This past, I think most of you know I like the outdoors and like to hunt and fish. This past, in August, September, I was doing some scouting, okay, and setting up some trail cameras to catch some pictures. And as I was scouting, I came across something. And it was a carcass, bones of an animal. And you see these bones here. Chris, you can show. That's what it kind of looked like if you can make it out. You can see the rib bones there, the leg bones. And it was all there. Anybody want to guess what kind of animal this was? Let's take a guess. Cow? Well, maybe. Deer? Okay. How many think it was a deer? What do you think it was? You forgot? Okay. Think it could be a lion or a giraffe? Probably not around here, huh? Huh? A coyote. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Oh, a coyote. Well, I had a little bit of help in identifying what it was because I did find its head. I did find its head, and this was...
A deer.
Yeah, it's a deer. Okay? I found its head. And, you know, all that was there was the bones. And, you know, I look at that and I think, wow, that's a pretty nice rack, especially if he had the other side, isn't it? I think most hunters would enjoy that. But it was kind of a sad sight. But I actually have pictures of this deer from last year. And, you know, we, like an archaeologist, you know, they get the bones and they look at dinosaurs and they try to picture what something looked like, you know, right? And they put all the pictures there, and we, you know, they're guessing, right? They have an idea, but I actually have pictures of what this deer looked like. Okay, more than just bones, he was. Can you see him up there? He was a pretty incredible buck. He was a nice 5x5. Had that crooked brow tine, you know. And I actually had him within 15 yards last fall after he lost the one side of his rack, and because of that, I just let him walk by, and I was hoping he'd make it to this year, but he never did. And so when I was checking and scouting, I came across this carcass, and I thought, oh, man, a dead deer, and I saw the horns. You know, I find that quite often. All of a sudden, I saw his crooked brow tine. That's the one there in the middle. And I knew that was him. That's how I identified who he was. And I was kind of like, oh, man, he was such a great deer, but all that is left are these bones. There's nothing there, right? Just bones. No life, just some bones. And as I was thinking about that and the message that kind of came out of our leadership class this past week, you know, these bones just are a reminder that life existed at one point, right? They're evidence of that. The deer is no longer alive. There's no breath. There's no fur. There's no energy. They're just evidence that life existed. You know, and that happens a little bit in our lives too, doesn't it? At times in our own lives, we have things happen in our life. Life happens, right? And sometimes the dreams, the hopes, the things that we have planned evaporate, they die. And all we have left, maybe sometimes, are bones. They're evidence of what we had hoped for, we had dreams for. Life happens. Sometimes we have health issues that steal those dreams and those hopes, those ambition. Sometimes sin comes into the picture, right? Sometimes we allow that into our lives, and it is pleasurable for a moment and a time and a season, but eventually it catches up with us, and there's always consequences for sin. And it can take the life and the dreams that we once had. Sometimes we get wounded. Ever been wounded? Somebody in the community, a friend, those are always the hardest. We get wounded. You know, and I don't know how this deer died. My guess is that he maybe got wounded during rifle season, and it was a wound that he wasn't able to heal from, and he died, and nobody found him, and he died. You know, that happens in the church, doesn't it? It happens in life. People get wounded, and sometimes they come through it. I've harvested deer that have been wounded, and they survived it, and then I got them. They have a tendency to run into my arrows. I don't know. It's just the way it is. But some wounds we survive from, some we don't. And sometimes with those wounds, they're so deep. With it die dreams, hopes, ambitions, what God has called us to do. And as I was thinking about this and just what we go through in life, I was reminded of the vision in Ezekiel 37, if you want to turn there. Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel, the people in the leadership class, and anybody can come to that, okay? But Ezekiel was a priest back right around 5-600 A.D., B.C., before Christ, okay? Not A.D., B.C., before Christ. And at that time in history, Israel had fallen away from God. God had given Israel several warnings. He had brought him into the promised land, said, man, this whole land is open to you. And he destroyed their enemies with great power and with great miracles, right? And they settled in the land. But they did not follow the ways of the God. And God would send prophets to warn them and to get them to go back, and they would sometimes have revival, they would sometimes have renewal, but they still went further and further and further away from God until God had said, I have had enough. And so he allows the Babylonians to come in and to take them captive, to destroy Jerusalem, and they go into exile, which is modern-day Iraq, and it is there that they would be for 70 years. So Ezekiel is one of the people that is taken captive from Jerusalem, and is taken to Babylon. And he's a priest, and he is writing these visions that God has given him. And one of the visions that God gives him is found in Ezekiel 37. And God had big plans for Israel, but those plans came to nothing. And now they find themselves going into exile. They're in the middle of exile. They don't know if the end is in sight. And prophets had said, you know what? I'm going to bring you back out of exile, but, you know, if you were in the middle of a 70-year exile, it'd be pretty hard to keep that hope and that focus, wouldn't it? And so God speaks to Ezekiel a message for his people that I believe also applies to us. And so I want us to read this together. Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones is probably what it's labeled in your Bible. It says that the hand of the Lord was upon me, verse 1. And he brought me up by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones. Okay? Probably not deer bones or coyote bones, but people bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. You can see the dust and the dryness. There's no life in them. You know, this could have been a picture of what Ezekiel maybe saw when he left Jerusalem, was taken in shackles. Maybe as they went along the road, we don't know, but maybe as they were leaving Jerusalem and walking along the road, and there in the ditches along the road were the remains of people that had lost their life in the conquest of Babylon. It's very possible. Or it's just that God gives them this vision of a valley full of bones. But verse 3 said, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Now, if you were Ezekiel, what would you say? Can these bones live? Can this rascal live again? It'd be pretty hard to all those bones come back together, right? Flesh, lungs, blood, fur. It'd be pretty hard for that to happen, wouldn't it? Could it happen? You don't think so? No. Ezekiel answered probably the best way he could. He said, Sovereign Lord, only you know. And I think Ezekiel's response is similar to what we have. Ezekiel probably knew that God had the power to do so, but lacked the faith to believe it could happen. You ever been there? You can believe by faith in prayer that God can heal so-and-so, but when it comes to your own need, it's kind of like you doubt if God can do it for you. You ever been there? Can those bones live? Ezekiel says, God, only you know. And so he instructs Ezekiel to do something. He says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come alive. I'll attach the tendons to you, make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So he prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. So I need, who's sitting up front here? Chase, come here, man. Come here. Hurry up. I need lightning speed here. Grab a couple of those bones there and rattle them for me, okay? All right, you're going to take the big bone, okay? Just don't hurt his teeth, okay? All right, don't break anything. All right, rattle those bones a little bit. Just rattle them. That'll work. You're going to make sure they have the right pitch? Yeah, just grab two bones and rattle them. No, shake, rattle them together, like they're coming together. Yeah, take that one and that one. Yep, okay. Okay, but here you go. Okay, rattle them together so they can hear them. Yeah. All right, kind of smack them together a little bit. There we go. They're snapping together, right? All right. And so they snap together, kind of like magnetic. Tendons form, ligaments form, muscle form. All right, give me five. All right, five, ma'am. But there was that rattle. Imagine a whole valley, thousands of skeletons snapping together. That'd be a pretty incredible sound, wouldn't it? It'd probably be thunderous. But they all come together in the right place. You know, Tessa would probably, being the professor that she is, she would probably take a box like this and say, okay, class, we're going to put this together today. All right? It'd be like a puzzle, wouldn't it? But they all went together. Flesh, ligaments, and then the skin. All right. And so I prophesied as he commanded. He tells them what's going to happen, so now he does it. And he said, Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, and he did. Okay, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, verse 12. I am going to open up the graves and bring them forth. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. when I open up graves and bring them up from it. I'll put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your land. Then you will know that the Lord has spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This message was a message of hope to the people of Israel spoken through Ezekiel. And he said there was going to be two things that are going to happen that Ezekiel did. What are the two things that Ezekiel had to do for the bones to come together and for them to live? What two things? Did you pick them up there? He prophesied what? They were to hear the word of the Lord. Number one. That's in your bulletin there. To hear the word of the Lord. But now he had a vast army, flesh, skin, eyeballs, hair. But they're just, they weren't even the walking dead, okay? They were just, okay? All right? That was for you, Aaron. All right. All right, they weren't even the walking dead. They were just stationary. Until what? He prophesied to the wind and said breath entered them. And that word breath and wind is used, it's the same word, ruach in the Hebrew and pneuma in the New Testament in the Greek. But in other words, the Spirit of God entered them. You know, you can have a body, flesh and bones, but if there's no life, if there's no breath within that body, they're not alive, right? The minute that life, that breath leaves, a person's no longer alive, even though there's flesh and bone. And so, as I was looking at this, spiritual restoration and renewal is a combination of two things. First of all, we have to respond to the word of the Lord. Respond to the word of the Lord. First and second of all, respond to the Spirit of God. Because he is the power and he is the breath. Hear the word of the Lord and respond to the Spirit of God. It takes both. Now think about this. In order to be saved, okay, to be converted, if you want to use that term, I don't like to use that word as much because, I don't know, there's some baggage with that word, but to be saved, to come to know Christ, it requires two things. First of all, we have to hear the word of God, don't we? That we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and it's only through putting our faith in Jesus Christ that we can be saved. No, Romans says it is through hearing the word of God and confessing him as our Lord and our Savior, then you will be saved. We have to hear the word of God. But it's also when that happens and we invite Christ into our life, now his Spirit comes into our life. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes us alive in Christ. Before we come to Christ, we're like these bones. Okay? We're spiritually dead. We can't respond to God. And I think sometimes we can get frustrated because we've invited Christ into our life, and sometimes our friends have and our family have, and we talk to them about God, and it's like there's a barrier there. You ever had that happen? It's because they're not spiritually alive. God's Spirit isn't in them, quickening, making come alive his word. And until his breath comes within them and they invite Christ in their life, that won't happen and take place. They can read God's word, and it won't come to life to them. It's just a history book to them. But to us, it's the very word of God. I look at the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches the message, right, to this large group of crowd that is gathered because they are speaking in other languages. They don't know what's happening. There's a sound and all these things that are happening, Acts chapter 2. But as Peter preaches, they hear the word of God, number one. But then they also receive the work of God's Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people are saved that day. Restoration and renewal is a combination of two things, hearing the word of God and responding to the Spirit of God. You can look at history, revivals that have taken place throughout history, and it is a combination of two things. They hear the word of God and they respond to the Spirit of God. It's both and. It's both and. If you leave today, you're going to hopefully remember two things, that renewal and restoration take place because of what two things? Hearing the word of God and responding to the Spirit of God. Now, last Sunday, I believe that God breathed upon our church in a special way. And for some of you, you experienced God in a whole new way. Maybe you've heard the word of God, and even responded to him. But maybe I think you, some of you really responded to the Spirit of God in a way that you hadn't done in the past. Amen? And with that, you experienced a renewal, refreshing. You came alive in a way that you hadn't come alive before. Why? Because you responded to the Word of God, but you also responded to the Spirit of God. And God began to bring some life that wasn't there before spiritually within your life. And a lot of times we think, wow, that's pretty cool. God did some healing in people's lives. He did some, we use that term being on fire for God, but that's what it means. When we hear the Word of God and respond to the Spirit of God, there's a fire, there's a life, there's an energy that comes alive with each and every one of us. Amen. As we come to life in Him. And I've lived long enough to see witness moves of God in our nation, okay? I had to pastor through the Toronto Blessing. Everybody heard of the Toronto Blessing? Okay, Pastor Gildas? Yeah. Some good things. Boy, God brought some joy and gladness to people. And then there was, with any move of God, there's always excesses. You have to pastor people through that. The Pensacola revival that took place in Florida, a move of God. So I've seen several moves of God. But you know what? They only last for a time and a season. And God maybe touched your life last week in a special way. Okay? But did you know that even today, you're in need of renewal within your own life? Stephen made the quote, we all leak. Smith Wigglesworth said that. Because it's not like the Holy Spirit is a substance that we pour into our life, okay? And we can get that mixed up because we refer to Him that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not a substance, He's a person, okay? The person of the Holy Spirit. And with relationships, it's not a matter of having them, but it's having that relationship with them, right? And so if we want an ongoing relationship and an ongoing infilling of the Holy Spirit, it means we have to abide in Christ. That means that day after day, I need to come before God and say, God, I'm going to respond to your word, and I'm going to respond to your spirit. Every day that I don't, I go backwards. Every day that I do, I progress in what God is doing in my life. Are you following me? We respond to the Word of God, and we respond to the Spirit of God. One speaker, he's a president of one of our Bible colleges in Minneapolis. He says, God's plan is not revival, but it's vival. Okay? Are you following me on that? It's not revival, because revival infers that you were dead. Okay, maybe you were. All right? But revival means that we are living in a constant state of renewal within our lives, that day after day we're becoming before God, we're responding to His Word, and we're responding to His Spirit. And we live in a state of victory, of life within our spiritual life. We live in a constant state of zeal, of strength, and victory for God. If we could look with God eyes, with His radar vision, and look into the churches across America, what would He see? I think in some churches He would see bones. Evidence of life. You go to Europe, you see evidence, you see bones. Hey, there was life here. There's some incredible cathedrals across Europe. Beautiful churches. But all they are is bones. They're evidence. Yeah, there was some spiritual life that was here. But they're dry, they're dusty, there's nothing there anymore. If God is looking to other churches, He would see bones and flesh, but there's no movement. Okay? They're not even the walking dead. Maybe in some churches there's the walking dead. They're running into each other and aimlessly. Sometimes the church is like that. But there's a vast army across our nation. But unless God breathes into that army, it doesn't have life. Are you following me? There's no life. If God was to look into our church this morning with His radar vision, what would He find? Well, He probably would find all of the above. He's going to find some bones. He's going to find some, hey, I've been responding to the Word of God, but I haven't really been responding to the Spirit of God like I should. And then there are some that God, that fire is in your life. And I see people go to camp, and I see them, God touches their life at camp, and it only takes a week, folks. It only takes a week for that fire to dim and to die. It only takes a week. And if we want God to be in this place and in our life, it takes coming before Him and hearing the Word of God and responding to the Spirit of God. Pretty basic. But if we can't do those two things, we're never going to have the life. We're just going to have evidence of what was and not what is. Have the musicians come. You know, if Radiant Springs Church is to be a body of believers that impacts this area in a way that is refreshing, relevant, and real, it's only going to be because there's life within us, right? Not because we have a catchy slogan. Not because we're filled with a bunch of good people, okay? But because there's a life that's beyond us, the Spirit of God moving through us, amen? And that we're the people of God. People aren't looking just for a place. They're looking for a place where there's life, that the Spirit of God is moving, amen? And so this morning, I want us to respond to the message. Respond to His Word. If you're able to, usually I kind of allow it to you, but I'm just, would you, as the body of Christ of Radiant Springs Church, would you just come as you are this morning, just gather around the front, raise your hands to God as we sing with this closing chorus, and just say, God, I'm here to respond to Your Word. I'm here to respond to Your Spirit. And just allow Him to refresh you this morning. Will you do that this morning? Can we do that as the body of Christ this morning? And I want us just to all come, because we all need some refreshing. Amen?